It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the City of Angels Camp has a new city administrator, Michael Hodson. The city council also recently approved a new budget, so it's a busy time in the city. Today we're going to meet Hodson and also speak with the city's mayor, Caroline Schirato. City Administrator Hodson and Mayor Schirato, it's great to have you on Motherlode Views here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So, Michael Hodson, I'll start first with you since you are new to the position. You know, tell us about yourself and what drew you to Angels Camp.
Okay. Well, thank you. Came here from Grass Valley. We just moved down. I was previously at Butte County, and before that, most of my time was in schools after retiring from a 25-year Marine Corps career. And so, glad to be here. Had an opportunity to, wanted to be a city administrator before I retired, and a chance to sort of put your stamp on a organization, and did my homework and wanted to be at a place where the council was sound and really professional, and so I was excited to get this opportunity.
So roughly how long have you been in the role now?
How old am I? About 4 or 5 months now. It's and you're drinking from a fire hose all the time. But
yeah, I know you're relatively new to the position. Do you have kind of some early goals and priorities you set forth?
Sure. Really, at this point, we're still, for me, building the capacity of our team, right? Learning whatever. We have a really solid group of department heads and staff, and really getting on board with them, and then building that kind of our processes, procedures, and being able to plan things in advance, so you're not catching things as they happen, that you're foreseeing things, working around our process for contracting and for programming things, and the interoperability of our various departments.
And Caroline Schirato, we've had you on Motherlode Views before, but remind us, you know, how long you've been on the council now.
I've been on since 2021, so quite a few years. This is my second term. So it's been, and this is my first year as mayor.
First year as mayor, yeah. So as an individual council member and as a mayor, what are some of your goals and priorities?
Well, back in January when we met for the first time, when I came on as mayor, I had a couple of goals, which was put in place a city administrator and then a police chief, get City Hall all, you know, just hired fully, and we've completed that. So we're really excited about onboarding Michael. He's been fantastic. We have a new city clerk, a new police chief, and all of our staffing. Like, it's the first time we've been fully staffed with Public Works, which is exciting. So I would say that things are really positive at City Hall. So that was the goal. Now, looking forward, our museum is such a gem, and we just got an update last night about our museum. And so trying to find some more funding for our museum with the maintenance and taking care of the buildings and things like that, so that it doesn't fall on the budget that we give them. Another area that I'm looking at is water, and water is like gold. You know, the saying is like whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. So that's one of the things that I have been involved with Utica Water and Power Authority. And just how can we lower our water bills? How can we look at this from a more organic way? And this might be an opportunity for us to take a look at some of our neighboring smaller agencies on how we can combine and lower some of that the overhead, and maybe make it possible that everybody around us could have a lower water rate. So that's one of my goals.
Very good. I mentioned it is past July 1st now, so a new budget has now taken effect. So first off, you know, the revenues that are coming into the city, what are kind of your observations? Are they strong, or is it a challenging time? I'll pose that to either one of you.
Yeah. Revenues, I think, for really all California cities struggle in that you're limited by Prop 13 in the growth of your property tax. Typically will be something just north of 2% is a pretty good average. But when inflation is higher than that, you're trying to compete for salaries and the like. The cost to replace things becomes more and more expensive. That's a little tough. We do have some offsetting revenues in like TOT, the transient occupancy tax, and some of those other revenue measures. But it's definitely an environment in which you can't be sloppy or cavalier with your expenditures. And so I think that there's a history with the city that again attracted me, of the history in finance, that they are very conservative, very deliberate, and don't commit themselves to things that you can't sustain ongoing. So I think that we have a very solid budget. We are once again operating in a balanced budget situation, but you're very much resource constrained in California municipalities.
Mayor Schirato, anything you'd like to add?
No, I just am really proud of the fact that we did roll out a balanced budget. We've had a balanced budget every year that I've sat on city council, which is fantastic. One of the things that we did add into this year, which I was a proponent of, was the equipment scheduling, meaning all of the departments have various vehicles or equipment that needs replacing every few years. And so we never had a schedule of like, when are those going to be due to be replaced? And so it was just out of almost emergency if we needed to get a new police vehicle or a fire truck or, you know, even just a generator. And so it's nice that we've got this scheduled. We're going to be putting money into a reserve specifically for that. So when the time comes that a department needs a new piece of equipment, we actually have the funding available. So I'm really excited about having that in place.
What are the various different types of departments that the city has?
We're a full-service city, so you have, of course, police and fire. We also provide both freshwater, drinking water, and wastewater. We have then planning and engineering that we have contracted, but providing all the utilities to our residents is a heavy lift for sure.
How about capital improvement projects? What's on the horizon over the next budget year?
A lot. Well, we've been focusing on a lot of things that just, they're not necessarily sexy items, but they're necessities for running a city. So sewer lines, we just did a huge replacement of sewer line on Vallecito Road. I know a lot of residents were having to kind of cope with that. But thank you everybody for that. And that was completed a couple of months ago. And we're getting ready to do phase two of that. So that will be a continuation. We're looking at pavement projects just because those have been neglected over the years. So looking at a pavement plan, so it's going to be in grouping. So that's going to be rolling out soon. Anything else you want to?
A bunch going on with water, both water and wastewater. The systems are old, right? They were built 100 years ago or more in many cases, and they just start to atrophy over time, and so building those plans in, and you don't think about water until you don't have it. You don't think about wastewater until it's overflowing. We have issues with a lot of what we call INI, the infiltration of water either from the surface down manholes or where the pipes are not entirely sealed, and so water will creep in, and then that just overwhelms your wastewater treatment, and so just getting on top of those things because it's a really zero fail environment.
Yeah, and because we've been on top of just making sure small increases to water, wastewater fees every month, which I know is hard for everybody to, especially in this economy, just to accept and to be able to pay. But it does afford us the ability to address all this very aging infrastructure that has to be addressed. And so the fact that we have so many projects that have happened and that are coming up is exciting because we have the funding as well. The other project, too, that I wanted to quickly mention was the automatic meter reader. So we've just almost completed that project throughout the city. And what it's going to do is take some of the time that it used to take days for a couple of our public works folks to go through and hand read all the meters throughout the city. And now they just drive through and they can automatically get all of those readings. So it's actually going to open up some time to where maybe we can focus more in some other areas with our public works folks. They can maybe take some more time in the parks or in just caring for the city in other ways.
We need to take a quick break. We're talking about the City of Angels Camp on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We have the recently appointed new city administrator, Michael Hodson, in studio, as well as the mayor, Caroline Schirato. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We are focusing on happenings in the City of Angels Camp on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're joined in studio by the Mayor of Angels Camp, Caroline Schirato, and the City Administrator, Michael Hodson. Mayor Schirato, I'll go back to you. Next thing I want to ask you about is housing. Last time you were on, we talked a little bit about the Habitat for Humanity project, a major housing project in Angels Camp that the city is involved with as well. So what's kind of the latest when it comes to that project?
Yes, again, I mean, this is such an exciting endeavor for us. The largest Habitat for Humanity project in the state of California that's ever happened. So 107 units, and they have all of the underground done. The streets are in place, sidewalks. They've got a park that's now open. And so the next step is going vertical. And so that looks like that's going to happen before the end of the year. I know that, you know, they've been accepting folks that are interested in a house there, and there's an application process. And so that if anyone's interested in that, contact Habitat. But we're really excited that this is finally going vertical.
Kind of ties into economic development too, and preparing if there's future jobs and available houses now.
I mean, houses for like service workers and workforce housing. I mean, it's just such a shortage in our county, and to be able to have that in our city is going to be a real boon. I mean, it's going to be great having that availability, but also it just brings in more taxpayers' dollars, which helps fund things like police and fire.
Michael Hodson, anything you'd like to add on the project?
No, it is exciting to see it happening, right? You need housing that suits everybody. So looking forward to that happening. And additionally, you know, the Habitat for Humanity, part of that arrangement is that they have to put in their sweat equity, right? And so we have an arrangement now with them where those folks who may not be part of building their own house as they do when they do small projects are actually working with the city and just providing various maintenance and upkeep and other beautification type projects. So it'll be great. They're going to basically be paying into the community as part of their housing program.
Yeah. Mayor Schirato, next thing I was going to ask about is economic development. Angels Camp, obviously a historic community, also looking to the future with new types of jobs and revenue opportunities. What's going on right now when it comes to economic development initiatives?
Well, you know, we just got done having our Frog Bucks, which is funding that we set aside. And we open it up, and once it's gone, it's gone. And it's almost like a dollar for dollar. So if you buy a $25 gift card, we match it with $25. So, and it's up to $100. And it's one purchase per person in the city or beyond. And so that's been really successful. And so a lot of our downtown businesses and beyond have been participating in that. And the money doesn't last too long. So once it's announced, you got to get on top of that, which we will be doing again this fall. So that's been going well. We just got a update last night, actually, from the Calaveras Visitors Bureau, just talking a little bit about how many people have been coming in. And the numbers are down, as is California. But actually, one of the numbers that stuck out for me was how much people are spending in the city on entertainment. And that has almost tripled in what we saw over 2025, just in the first 6 months of this year. And one of the things that we attribute it to is our downtown theater has been seeing a pretty good boost in attendance. And that must be because I know that over here in Tuolumne County, you lost your one theater that was in operation. So we've been seeing that, which then helps all of our downtown businesses. But yeah, I mean, we've seen some progress on the Utica Hotel. There's just been some, you know, we're looking for a new renter in Rite Aid, that empty building. And so I don't know, Michael, if you have any other.
Some potential growth around the 4 and 49 interchange, which will be, you know, phenomenal. And then that beautification project, it's really kind of an eyesore now. But boy, when that's done, it's going to just make that whole Highway 49 path just really pretty, very pedestrian friendly, where it isn't so much now. I think it's really going to be a boon and draw people to our downtown.
Yeah, what have you heard from Caltrans about that beautification project? How are things going?
Actually, they're going pretty good. We had a presentation last night, too, from Caltrans. It was a good night of just getting updates from everybody. But they seem to be on track to finish the project before winter storms hit. So I know everybody's been asking a little bit about, you know, what the timeline is of that. They're pouring sidewalks. They're doing drainage. They're going to be doing irrigation next. The last part of it will be all the landscaping and the lighting going in. So you know, I know it's super inconvenient and it's been really hard on some of our downtown businesses, especially like near Murphy's Grade Road. So, but we're getting close. And once the driveways are completed and people can get in and out of businesses, it'll be a lot better. But we're very appreciative of the communication that we've been having with Caltrans and where we're at with that project.
Michael Hodson, I know fire has been an issue that's having some changes as well and some consolidation. So can you explain what's taking place with the fire department?
Yeah, we had a really wonderful opportunity. And being the new guy, kind of got to come in with fresh look at things. There are a number of fire protection districts in the county. And the way we were set up is that Angels Camp is surrounded by the Altaville Maloney's Fire Protection District. But the way the assignments go is basically the closest station goes. So we would end up covering a lot of their calls to our south, and they would take some of our calls to the northern part of the city. But they're small, right? That's all they were. And all the infrastructure about having a city hall and a finance department, all that, they didn't have that. And so they struggled sometimes, not through lack of effort, just by not having the economies of scale. So we started a conversation with them, and about a month ago, we approved a contract in which we will take all of their Measure A money and also then assume the responsibility for that entire area. And what that does for us, it makes us bigger, and therefore we are more efficient. So the single example that I like to use is most of our calls are actually medical calls. They're probably two-thirds or more are going off to do lift assists at nursing homes or other types of medical calls. But because you don't know where you're going to go next, every time they do, they take the big old ladder truck. And it just kills me to see this big old ladder truck going down to help someone with chest pain. Now we can have two crews running all the time. So we're answering those calls in the small truck. It's more efficient. It's faster. It's safer. It's all of those things. So we're getting economies of scale now. We have flexibility. We were consolidating our equipment between the two. And so it's really been a really positive thing so far.
Mayor Schirato, anything you'd like to add on fire?
No, I mean, it's, you know, one of those things where my husband was a volunteer with Angels Camp Fire Department 20 years ago. And so, it was always run by volunteers, both agencies, and it's just a natural evolution. And I just want to say thank you to all of the volunteers, the past leaders of those two agencies. And I know that this consolidation has been talked about for a long time, and it's hard. It's hard to let go, but the timing was right, and we appreciate all that they've done. And so just want to say thank you.
You know, another topic that's kind of interesting sometimes is population trends in Sierra Foothills communities. Have you noticed any recent kind of fluctuations or trends when it comes to population numbers?
In our budget packet a couple of weeks ago, we did have an update on our population just from the census, and I hadn't really dived too far into it. So this time around, I looked, and, our signs say 3,995 people, but actually we have about 3,665 people. One of the numbers that struck me was the amount of folks who live, our residents who live in our city that are in between the age of 19 and 25. It said that we had 11, which is great. That means our kids are going off to school or military or trades or just adventuring out. But it also shows that the majority of our population is in the retirement category. So it's one of those things where you would go back to economic development. How do we get those kids to come back and create a business, have jobs that will sustain them, and create more opportunities? So that's kind of what's going on with our population.
Michael Hodson, anything like that?
No, demographics are obviously a challenge, right? And but it's a neat place to be, and I would like to be drawing folks back to the community.
Absolutely. We need to take one more break. We're talking with the city administrator and the mayor of Angels Camp, joined on the program today by Caroline Schirato and Michael Hodson. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Focusing on projects and initiatives in the City of Angels camp. It's a new fiscal year as well, so a budget was recently approved by city leaders. We're joined on the program today by the mayor of Angels camp, Caroline Schirato, also the city administrator of Angels camp, Michael Hotson. Mayor Schirato, you touched a little bit about the Angels camp museum on an earlier segment, and it really is kind of a hidden gem there in Angels camp. I've been there a couple times and always new things to see. So what's kind of the latest happenings and things to point out with the museum?
Well, thank you for asking about that. It is a hidden gem, and what you see from the highway, it's so much more than that. So it's almost a full acre and several buildings full of a lot of our legacy family's history, what makes Angels Camp Angels Camp. And we generally have about 1,400 students who come through the museum throughout the year, and we don't charge for children in Calaveras County. So it's one of those things that we really want to share the history with our own students. They have the frog jump display, which is fantastic, the pole barn with all of the carriages. There's just so much to see, the gold panning, some of the old Utica equipment that's there, and our fire history, just all of it. And so I really want to encourage people to go and enjoy that. And the docents are fantastic, the volunteers. So I just can't say enough. I just get really excited about it. So go see it.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about too much yet is Utica Park as well, which was the big project over recent years, a big undertaking by the City of Angels Camp. So what's kind of the latest when it comes to finishing that project up?
Well, we have a couple of things that need to be done before we can wrap up the grant. And one is the parkour course, and the other is the signage on all of the history of Utica Park. And so once those two things are done, then we can wrap that up. But, you know, meanwhile, everything is open. We've got the facility can be rented, and you can host parties down there. It's great. There's bocce ball, pickleball. There's the amphitheater, and of course the playground. So it's just a fantastic spot.
And a full kitchen.
And a full kitchen. Yep.
Yeah. Being a newer resident to Angels Camp, Michael Hotson, have you had a chance to spend much time in Utica Park yet?
A little bit. I'm still juggling and getting moved. We have a ranch up in Grass Valley that we are trying to sell, so I'm running up most weekends to try to catch up and get ourselves packed up. But we bought down here, and so my son is down. He's going to be a senior, and we're just, yeah, it's we're getting pulled in a lot of directions. I'm looking forward to being settled by the time the school year starts.
Speaking of Utica Park, the farmer's market is that time of year as well.
It is. And so those are on Friday from 4:30 until 8 p.m. And they've got entertainment, tons of vendors from fresh fruits and vegetables to all sorts of arts and crafts. It's a fantastic farmer's market. And they also have food. So some of our food trucks are there. And speaking of food trucks, we also have 49er Eats that opened downtown, which is a food truck vendors. And so some of them come down to the farmer's market on Fridays. So just note that if you're going to 49er Eats, that some of those folks won't be there because they'll be down in the park.
Good to know. You know, what are some of the, like, just kind of, would you say, kind of the biggest concerns or issues you hear from constituents that get brought to city leaders like yourself?
We get, I think folks don't really understand or appreciate how much is happening behind the scenes, right? So we get those things where folks don't realize the difficulties in doing things. So it's usually the smaller things about the time to get a water bill or those sorts. Weed abatement was a big one this year, right? We have to ask people to have the weeds cleared off their property. But then in a spring like this where the rain normally stops and your weeds can dry, well, now it kept raining, and so that your grasses would grow and you ended up having to, you know, potentially do it twice. We try to delay enforcement on that to allow folks to do things. But, you know, people are you're trying to serve folks as best we can with, again, we got a fairly small staff, but I think we're doing a pretty good job of fielding the various issues that just pop up.
Yeah, weed abatement. How does that work in the city? What is the process?
Well, in the spring, we would send letters out to folks that haven't abated their weeds on their own, and we give them a fair amount of time. 99% of them take care of it on their own. There are cases, and we have two, where folks, for whatever reason, did not, right? And you can't allow those weeds to then grow and present a fire hazard. And so in those particular cases, we'll go out and do it for them, and then we end up billing the property owner. But most folks understand the importance of clearing their weeds and go and take care of it on their own, sometimes with a little reminder, but most time they take care of it themselves.
You know, another topic to dive into as we get to the end of today's show is we talked a little bit about water earlier, but Mayor Sciarrato, you know, is there kind of an active push to find kind of a redundant water supply for the city?
Yeah, there is. There's a mandate from the state with that agencies have to have a redundant water source, especially for us in a fire-prone area. As a lot of our residents know and lived through, we had the Darby Fire in 2001, which took out our main water source because it's wooden flumes. Because of that, the city did not have water coming down from the flume for 10 months. So we had to scramble for that. So with the redundant water source, we're looking to dig a well somewhere in the city so that we would have backup water in the case of an emergency. So we're actively pursuing that and looking at various areas to do that and trying to stay within the mandate of the state.
Michael Hodson, is that a difficult task to try to go through that process?
It is, and it's fascinating, right? The engineering and science behind how do you go find a well that is going to produce the volume of water that you need. It's not like, you know, your standard well on a rural property where you might get 15 or 18 or 20 gallons. There's not enough of those you can drill. You have to find a place in which, you know, 300 feet or more below the ground, there might be an underground, either aquifer or a underground river particularly, in which you can draw this water. And the hydrology and the geology and the science that allows them to find where they think it's going to be and all the property rights that involve. It's a fascinating.
It's an undertaking, and it's going to be expensive. And so, you know, that's one avenue that we can look at, but there's other avenues too that we might be able to look at, maybe tying in up above with Utica, maybe doing like a tunnel, mm-hmm. tunnel tap or tunnel tie in or something like that too. So we're working on it.
Do you know, is that something you have to rely on grant funding to be able to do that type of project?
Sometimes, FEMA grants would probably play a big part in this just because it's for emergency backup water source.
Well, we are nearing the end of this weekend's Motherlode Views. Just a couple minutes left on this weekend's show. Anything else that we didn't bring up or things that are keeping you busy these days?
I forgot to mention with the museum is that we actually, the city, opened up and or funded for the museum a new display downtown. And it's at the
Angels Hotel.
Thank you. And it's actually where Mark Twain witnessed the first frog jump that he saw, and the story, the base of the story that he wrote. And so if you go downtown, it is completely decked out. It's got all the history in it, and you can go in there and take photos. We've got like a makeshift bar in there and cutouts of Mark Twain, mm-hmm. so you can take a photo with him, and it's just fantastic. So if you are downtown Angels Camp, let's say you go see a movie, you can walk down there, and if it's not open, you can see it through the window, and it's really fabulous.
Yeah, to be in a Motherlode resident, you really have to go in there at least once to be at the spot.
I think depending on how it goes over the year, because we made a year commitment to this, but there's a lot of potential to grow that and maybe sell like sarsaparilla and all this kind of stuff and just really cool. Draw families in.
Michael Hodson, any closing comments you'd like to make as we wrap up here today?
No, it's been a great handful of months, and I'm really excited. Every day is a learning experience, right? There's so many things that happen, and just what a great team I have the opportunity to work with. It's really been from the council down to every single employee. I go in every day, and they are just what a wonderful group of dedicated folks. And I don't think people appreciate how dedicated they are and what great work they do.
And if people in the Angels Camp community want to come to a meeting and learn more about what's happening in the city, when are the meetings held?
They're the first and third Tuesdays. We also have, you can come to City Hall anytime you want, but I also have City Hall coffees that we rotate throughout the city, too. So I want to hear from folks. I know the council does, too. I like to be able to handle these issues before they come to the council. So, yeah, feel free. Come to our website. Come to our meetings. Make an appointment anytime you wish.
I thank both of you for coming on Motherload Views today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, we thank the mayor of Angels Camp and the city administrator. We've been talking with Caroline Sherrato and Michael Hodson. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.